I'm just a little relieved. I have to tell you, last night I dreamed that my sermon ended at 11:30 and I didn't know what to do for the next 30 minutes. So I can pretty much be assured it's not going to end in 2 minutes. So I'm feeling a little good, a little better. Have you ever noticed that pretty much any job you have, whatever business it is, if the person ahead of you, the leader or the boss, says that they're leaving, everyone under them gets a little panicked. Even if they don't like the boss, there's a little bit of panic about what's going to happen now. What's going to happen to me? Who will they bring in? How will they act? It's also like that in churches. If the pastor or one of the ministers announces they're leaving, the congregation for a little while, or maybe a long while, people panic just a little. They're afraid. What will we do? What will happen to the church? What will I do if I need something? Moses knows what's about to happen. People are going to panic that he's not going into the promised land with them. They aren't going to understand. So he's getting out ahead of the panic just a little bit. God is the one who does the calling. I get a little upset myself when someone thinks that another person hasn't really been called. In particular, I think about women. And the people that say women can't be called, or that any particular group of people can't be called. That implies that God runs the calling by me, and that doesn't happen. Moses was telling the people, God's people, to let go and to let God handle what's ahead. Moses is saying in our passage today that God called him. He wasn't suited for the job. He didn't want the job. He gave God several excuses. He also gave God a few suggestions. But God called him. And God will call the next prophet and the next and the next. God will take care of the future. We need to relax and be confident in what will happen. So what is a prophet these days? Is it a preacher or a teacher or a public speaker? William Carl says that the goal of a preacher is to be the window through which the light of God shines. I think I would say that the goal of a prophet is to be the window through which the light of God shines. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, it is God who gives prophets the words or the actions to say or do. Using that as a definition, I'd say yes, that some preachers, some teachers, some public speakers are prophets and some aren't. I'd say that there are those who have been meant to be prophets and they've said no to the call. There are perhaps those who began as prophets and then their window got a little dirty or a little cloudy. And then I'd also have to say that I have sat with many a layperson, many of you who've been prophets, who've been prophets in this day and in this time. Many of you have allowed yourself to be the window through which God has shone light on people. There are those who believed that Moses was referring to the coming of Jesus as the great prophet. While I believe Jesus spoke prophetic words, I'm not sure I feel like Moses was saying that we or they had to wait that long for another prophetic voice. I'm not sure that would have given his people the assurance that they needed for the future. As we heard the gospel passage today from Mark that Jeff read, we do see Jesus at the beginning of his ministry walking into the synagogue and being the guest pastor for the morning, being prophetic in his words. But who is he? What is his credentials? People aren't sure about him. And as he's teaching and everyone is amazed at his authority and his words, someone enters who's having a problem. The man, scripture says, has an unclean spirit, and Jesus rebukes that spirit, and the man is freed. We often hear that Jesus performed an exorcism, that the man was possessed by demons. I don't know if that's the important part of this message. I feel like it is important to recognize that the unclean spirit recognized Jesus' authority. Before the people in the room recognized it. While those listening weren't sure of who was speaking, the Spirit knew. But even more important than that, Jesus wanted whatever was preventing this man from having abundant life to be removed from his path. Just like Moses wanted the people to realize that God wanted them to have all the benefits of the promised land and didn't want them to get caught up with worry that Moses wouldn't be with them. What things get in our way of having abundant life? What things get in our way from being called by God? Is it the fear of change? Do we get frozen in our life for fear that truly following Christ means that things have to change a little? That we might have to quit doing some things or giving up some things, or we might have to follow Christ and take some stands that we don't want to take, and people might know of our relationship with God? Perhaps we let the world get in the way of having abundant life. Maybe we think if we want to achieve certain things in this world, we can't drop our nets and follow completely. We need to hold on to some things. Sure, we can be an admirer of Jesus, maybe even a fan of Jesus, but not a follower, because we have things that we need to achieve in our lives. Sure, Jesus is great, and I like to read about him, and I like to come here and feel comforted, and I like to put my time in, but follow completely? Well, it's too much to ask, and our window gets a little cloudy, gets a little bit of dust on it. Maybe family gets in the way because we want to give our family everything, so we can't follow Jesus completely. Sure, we can put Jesus second, but family has to come first, right? It's probably what Jesus would want for us, to put our family first. And the window gets a little more cloudy and a little more hard to see through. Do we stand in our own way, preventing ourselves from having the life that Christ would want for us? Do we get so caught up in ourselves that we don't hear the voice call us to step forward? We don't listen. We don't hear God calling us to be the window. Maybe we say, later in life I'll do that, but right now I need to think about me. And the window gets harder to see through. Last night, Roy and I went with Linnell and Mary Ellen to see Alive and Here, Alive from Here, at the Bath Concert Hall. It's the new version of what was called the Prairie Home Companion. And well, after the show was over and we were off the air, they played a song that was cut from the show because they were running out of time. And I heard the song and it moved me. And I made the statement then to everyone, that song will preach. And then I just kept thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it until I got up and I looked up the words. I want to read them to you. And let me preface it by saying there's a lot in this song to be preached about. But there's one phrase in particular I want to stand out. There's a place where I've been told every street is paved with gold, and it's just across the borderline. And when it's time to take your turn, here's one lesson that you must learn. You could lose more than you'll ever hope to find. When you reach the broken promised land and every dream slips through your hand, then you'll know that it's too late to change your mind, because you've paid the price to come so far just to wind up where you are, and you're still just across the borderline. Up and down the Rio Grande, 1,000 footprints in the sand reveal a secret no one can define. The river flows on like a breath in between our life and death. Tell me who's the next to cross the borderline. In the sad darkness, today we have to cross this river which calls us further away. But hope remains when pride is gone, and it keeps you moving on, calling you across the borderline. When you reach the broken promised land, every dream slips through your hands, and you'll know it's too late to change your mind, because you pay the price to come so far, just to wind up where you are, and you're still just across the borderline. The phrase that jumped out at me, that stuck with me, is how much does this world promise us a place with golden streets, a place just over there that is the promised land. If we could just get there, just get a little further down the road, if we could just get a little more money, we could be in the promised land, or just a few more things, or just a bigger house, or maybe a more impressive job. If we could just get over there, we would be in the promised land. But what really the truth is that we get to that place and we've given up more than we could ever get. The truth is we have the promised land. All that we need for true abundant life is right in front of us if we just allow ourselves to hear God's call. If we're willing to lay down the things that get in our way, if we're willing to get the Windex out and clean the window, to trust that God wants the very best for us, right here, right now. I guess I'm in a music mode, but Roy and I were listening to the Gospel Hour as we do every morning on the way to church, and an old faithful hymn came on, sung by Loretta Lynn, that said it all. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-scarred hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. May that be your calling. May Jesus be more to you than anything this world affords. May we know the true promised land. Amen and amen.